Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
According to longtime Wall Street technology leader Carolyn Arnold, the big push strategy of the New Year's resolution often fails because it pits limited stores of willpower against a personal autopilot of entrenched behaviors and attitudes that is far more powerful. She says to achieve change that lasts, we must learn how to make micro-resolutions. Her new book is Small Move, Big Change, Using Micro-Resolutions to Transform Your Life Permanently. The book is published by Penguin, and it's a pleasure to welcome Carolyn Arnold to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Joe, thanks for having me on.
What brought you to this idea of micro-resolutions? And then we'll ask the obvious question of what a micro-resolution is.
Okay. Well, you know, I made a New Year's resolution every year, and that resolution for me was generally a failure. 90% of people fail at their New Year's resolutions, and I was in that 90%. And one year I decided to make a New Year's resolution that I was absolutely sure was going to succeed, that was going to be easier than the one I generally made, which was to lose weight and exercise more. And that one failed, and I was so mortified. I sort of took a step back, and instead of just giving up that year, I thought, well, if my resolution to be organized overall was a failure, what is one targeted behavioral change I can make that will make me more organized? And I was able to succeed at that, and I got back a benefit from that I never would have expected from that change. And I began making very targeted behavioral changes to do things differently that I thought I could sustain for my whole life. And over time, I managed to meet a lot of the goals I had never been able to meet by making the classic New Year's resolution.
When I was reading the book, I thought of the television show MASH, where you have triage. You know, you sort of look at the carnage below you and say, okay, but what takes precedent? What needs to be managed first? And I guess we can look at that in our own lives and say, okay, well, what do we need to have a micro resolution for first, and what can come second, third, and fourth?
Exactly. These targeted changes, you know, they're sort of like, when you make a New Year's resolution, you're actually sort of, it's closer to a wish than actually a pledge to do something differently. When you say, I'm going to be slim by summer, I'm going to be organized, I'm going to be on time, it's almost a very sort of abstract concept. It's a someday proposition. A micro resolution is a today proposition. What am I going to do differently today that I can do differently for the rest of my life? To your point, you could think of it as a kind of triage. What's in the most trouble? Where should I move my focus now, my limited willpower store? And we should talk about that. I'm from a technology background, so one thing that resonates with me is it's like debugging a behavioral routine. Whether it's a relationship that you're trying to improve or whether or not you're trying to get fit or lose weight or be more productive, you have a certain behavioral routine you're running with during the day that is leading to certain results. And when you sort of shift anything in that routine, debug it, so to speak, you get a different result. And I think most of us try to make so much change at once, we just exhaust our willpower. And we think that it's a sign of character weakness that our willpower gives out. It isn't. Willpower is a neurological resource, a limited neurological resource. And when you've drawn it down, it's gone, and your willpower collapses. And to that point, people don't generally wake up in the morning and break their diet. They break their diet later in the day when their willpower is at low ebb. And decision-making and active initiative are closely related to willpower. And when you use those, you're drawing down willpower. So, again, these targeted changes allow you to sustain your willpower long enough to sort of drive these behavioral changes into autopilot, where you never have to think about them again and they don't require willpower. And then you can shift the focus of your willpower to the next set of changes that you want to make.
You mentioned your technology background. You have much of your background is on Wall Street. You're currently a managing director at Goldman Sachs in New York. How much of what you talk about comes from that background and from that microcosm that is Wall Street?
Yeah, it's interesting because, I had done some very difficult initiatives on Wall Street, and you would have thought those would translate into being able to do something to yourself personally, right? Like, why is not my personal initiative as successful? So one realization was that what you do during the day and that you have this, you know, and what is your career that you're using all your active initiative for is different from then on the margin trying to change yourself. But my technology background was very helpful in sort of developing this system. When a software routine doesn't run, we don't give up on it. We reverse engineer it. We look at it very carefully and try to understand why does it behave the way it does. And when we understand it, we go in and we make targeted changes, and we can see the effect of that change right away. We're listening on a very clear channel to say, okay, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that. And that is actually what I did with my own behavior, diagnose exactly what is my behavioral pattern here, zero in on one or two pivotal changes, and then see the result in real time, rather than someday I'll see the result of this hard labor. No, right now I can see it. And then to be able to tune what I was doing so that I was always successful. So I never really throw up my hands anymore and say, I can't make change. I just tighten my focus just as I would if I were diagnosing a bug in a computer program.
And once you resolve something and you look at it in a limited way and say this is meaningful and this is what I want to change, you have to do it until it becomes a habit. And that time frame can vary, obviously will vary from person to person.
That's right. I think my experience, and I think what the research supports, is I think it takes about 4 weeks. Some of them can take longer, about 6 weeks. But don't get impatient because you're establishing a pattern that's going to support you for a lifetime. Unlike, for instance, the crash diet where you lose a lot of weight and then you gain it back in a year. If you make a change in eating that permanently trims something from your diet, that's a great thing to be investing in. Most of our life is run by a kind of autopilot, again, like a computer program. You don't have to think to tie your shoes, to lock your front door, or to find your way to the bus stop. Autopilot's going to do that for you. And when you try to make big change, your willpower runs right up against that autopilot, which is generally autopilot's going to be the winner. The key to permanent change is to make a shift in one of those autopilot routines. And you're very mindful about the change you're making, and then that change becomes mindless. It goes into the mindless space. In 4 weeks, it's not going to be total autopilot, but it's going to feel much less awkward because any new behavior feels awkward. If you're learning to make your bed, that feels awkward and effortful.
Right.
One day you'll turn around and make your bed, and your bed will be made because autopilot did it. And then you know you've really cracked that one. So once you've held on to these for about 4 to 5 weeks, you can go on to two more. But the idea is never to backslide. You're never going to give up on any of them. So you don't want to stress out your willpower. So you want to make sure it's sticky before you go to the next one.
So once you're making the bed and you're doing that, does that make the next one easier? Or is it still always going to go through that time? Or does one become a gateway to make others easier?
Great question. Anything you learn to do differently creates a pattern that will mint some new behaviors for you without effort. So I'll give you an example. One of mine was to hang up my coat when I came home. Sounds like it would have no effect on your life. But it was really, I always threw my coat in the chair, and I said, I'm going to hang up my coat. Over time, I then began hanging up, you know, thinking it's really just as fast to hang it up, was the message I gave myself. After a while, I, without making a resolution, I just began hanging up my clothes as soon as I took them off because it bothered me to see them lying around because I'd established a different mental paradigm, right? If you think, a neat person thinks, I'm more productive when I work at a neat desk. But if you've never had the experience of a neat desk, you don't feel that change. So it's just as fast to hang it up. It's just as fast to file it. So as you create new behaviors, those behaviors become models for other behaviors. And very importantly, you give yourself a new experience that brings a change in attitude and kind of enlightenment. For example, many people have the resolution to improve a relationship, let's say, with their partner. But that's very general. But let's say you made a resolution not to say, I told you so, when you're proved correct. Just the experience of not scoring that point at somebody else's expense, but letting that moment pass in support of a greater goal, that will remove tension from the relationship in those moments for sure. but you'll be a different person for doing just that one thing. I've really found there's no such thing as an insignificant behavioral change. They're profound. In behavioral science, the tenet is most of the time what we do is what we do most of the time. Every once in a while we do something new. So doing something new is a big deal, and we need to think of it that way, that each one of these behavioral changes is an investment for life that is going to pay dividends that we cannot always anticipate in the moment.
You used a term a moment ago that I wrote down, which is mental paradigm, and I'm curious as to the psychology of this. How much, or does it help for you to ask yourself and to investigate why you don't hang up your coat?
Yes, one could do that. Why don't I hang up my coat? I can answer that. I thought it was faster. It was, and in fact, it's a kind of, for me, it turned out that the core thing behind many of the changes I needed to make was a kind of premium on rushing. So I'll give you an example. I knew I ate too quickly, and I was trying to lose weight. And I knew, you know, you have to eat for about 20 minutes before your brain registers satisfaction. And I could see I was done before everybody else, and then I would eat bread or get seconds. So I made a micro resolution to eat slowly, but that was sort of very unappetizing to me. And I changed that to be to dine leisurely and savor my food and drink. I reframed it. And that was a real mind shift, to dine leisurely and savor my food and drink. And when I was doing that, it would often occur to me, if I don't hurry up, I'll never finish all this food. And I never realized that I had this thing I was rushing to finish, as if there were some prize for being first. And that led me to examine all the places in which I rushed, in which I didn't get a benefit, like throwing clothes in a chair because I just don't have time to hang it up. But then having to hang it up on the weekend, you know, a mind-numbing session of hanging up 20 things. So when you change one thing, it's like you're conducting an experiment. You're listening on a very clear channel for what your resistance is and why you're resistant to doing it. And you can feel that resistance. To your point, why is it that I don't hang up my coat? You can feel what is the nature of that resistance. Where when you make a big resolution, let's say, to be neat all the time, you're just going to go on tilt. You're not going to hear anything. And the resistance I've found to doing things when I narrow the channel like this, what the feedback I get from my own mind, can be really surprising and enlightening.
Can we overthink this in the sense of, do we always have to be changing, or is there a point in our lives where we can just say to ourselves, you know what, I'm good?
Well, you know, I think there's a reason that we sort of, when you think about older people, we think of them sometimes as being one of the things that makes people feel old is they're set in their ways, they're not changing. And a lot of the vibrancy of youth has to do with, you know, self-invention. And, you wouldn't want to go back to the point where you're changing your identity every day, but neither do you want to go back, reach a point where you think you know the answer to everything. You know, change is the way of life. We're always changing. The question is, you know, do we have, what's our investment in that change? So I don't think, if the larger point is, should I always be so self-critical? I don't think it's about criticism. It's just about priorities. And as your priorities shift, you may have to make some behavioral changes. And I would imagine some of that slows down in time. But for other people, you know, Oliver Wendell Holmes was visited once by someone in the hospital, and he was in his 90s, and he was reading a Greek grammar. And the visitor said, why are you reading that? And he said, to improve my mind. And I think, you know, we all want to improve. It's sort of a universal aspiration. We all want to learn. Self-improvement is just another kind of learning. So maybe you decide you're going to learn a language when you're older. You know, you're good with who you are, but you want to learn something new. Again, doing things in a way that targets a little bit of change that you can absorb will allow you to learn some of these new things that you would think you need hours and hours to learn.
Carolyn Arnold is the author of the new book, Small Move, Big Change, Using Micro-Resolutions to Transform Your Life Permanently. The book is published by Penguin. Carolyn, thank you very much for spending time with us, and a Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Small Move, Big Change. It's published by Putnam. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.